Today's daf is Chulin Daf Tzadik Gimel, and we are 15 lines from the bottom of Daf Tzadik Beis Amid Beis. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Amar Rav. Today's daf is being learned as a Schos Rufu Shalema for Shlomo Ben Chayaleya and Yisrael Ben Adin. So we're moving along, mostly from the 13th cycle, in Perek Yid Hanasha, discussing the halachos of the Gid Hanasha, says the Gemara. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Amar Rav. Rav Yitzchak, the son of Shmuel, who was the son of Marta, who was also a Talmud of Rav, said in the name of his great Rebbe, Le'asra Torah Ela Knoik Noi Shabbat. The Torah, when it forbade the Gid Hanasha, only forbade the Knoik Nois. What does this mean? So Rashi says that the Gid Hanasha, the sciatic nerve, has little nerves that branch out from it, and they enter the basar that's surrounding that area. The Gid Hanasha itself, Rav held, was not asar. And the reason is because it's an Eitz Ba'alma. We've seen already there's an opinion amongst the Tanon that ain't begida benois in time, it doesn't taste like anything, and as a result, it doesn't make sense that the Torah would have made a big deal about not eating something that frankly doesn't even have any taste. What then did the Torah mean when it said, you're not allowed to eat the Gid Hanasha? It meant these little nerves that branch out, they do have taste, and it's that, said Rav, that the Torah said is asr. So Rav is saying two chidushim. Number one, the knoik nois is asr, but number two, le'asra Torah ela knoik nois. It's only the knoik nois that are asr, because the Gid Hanasha itself is going to be mutar. Ula Amar Ula said, I disagree. Eitzu ha-Torah chayva olav. Even though it's true, it might taste like a piece of wood, but at the end of the day, the Torah said it's asr. And if the Torah said it's asr, it's going to be asr. The isr is not the knoik nois. What is the isr? It's the actual Gid Hanasha. Amar Abaya. Abaya said, kavase du ula mistabra. It's actually mistaber like Ula. Why? Amar Rav Sheshes, Amar Rav Asi. Because Rav Sheshes said in the name of Rav Asi, Chutin Shebechelev, the Chutin that are in the Chelev. Rashi says that we're talking specifically about the Chelev that's on the Kerev and the Chelev that are on the Ksalim. We'll see more about what that means in a moment. Asurim, the halach is that they're asur. However, ve'in chayav an aleim. But at the same time, one is not going to be chayav karis if he eats them. So we know if somebody eats Chelev, he's chayav karis. Rav Sheshe said in the name of Rav Asi that the chutin, these nerves that are inside the Chelev, they're not the Chelev proper. The halach is they're asur, but they're not chayav karis. What does it mean they're asur, but they're not going to come with a chayav karis? It means they're not asur midei raisa. What are they? They're only asur midrabanan. Alma, but here's the point. Chelev amrachman of leichutin. You see, when it says in the Torah, kol chelev loisai chelu, what it means is that you're not allowed to eat the actual chelev. However, the chutin shebe chelev is something that you're allowed to eat. So, hachanami, it makes sense. Gid amrachman of leichnoi knois. When the Torah says you're not allowed to eat the gid anasha, what it means is the gid itself that you're not allowed to eat, the knoi knois themselves are going to be mutter. Al kaponim in the raisa, they're going to be mutter. So, said Abaya, I have a precedent from chelev. Just like by chelev, it's the chelev that's asur, but the chutin in the chelev. So too by the Gid Hanasha, it must be that it's the Gid that's asur, not the chutin, not the knoiknois. The Gid Hanasha tastes like nothing. It's Eitz Ba'alma. It is what it is. Eitzu v'atayra asra. At the end of the day, it's going to be asur. So we have a pretty fundamental machloikis between Rav and Ula as it relates to the isur of Gid Hanasha. According to Rav, it's only the knoiknois that are asur, but the Gid itself is not. According to Ula, it's just the opposite. It's only the Gid that's asur, but the knoiknois themselves are going to be mutter. Why did we just mention chelev? Because Abaye said, I have a raya to Ula. Or at the very least, kavase to Ula mistabra. I think logically it makes sense what Ula is saying, based on a precedent, which is in the parasha of Chelev. Either way, we just mentioned Chelev, and the Gemara is going to do what it very often does, and that is digress. And we're going to turn our attention from the Gid Hanasha for the next Amud or so of Gemara, and we're going to talk about the Chelev. Now, the Chelev and the Gid Hanasha are very much Me'inyan le'inyan ba'oseinyan. They're both parts of a kosher animal that had a kosher shechita, but at the same time, you're not allowed to eat them. Chelev is a lot more chomer than the Gid Hanasha. If somebody eats chelev, he's chayv karis, in addition to being over a lois aseh. If somebody eats the Gid Hanasha, it's just a good old-fashioned lois aseh. But what they have in common is, again, they're parts of a kosher animal that had a kosher shechita, but at the same time, they themselves are very, very much forbidden for a Jew to eat. Now, as a little bit of a hakdama to the next part of Gemara that we are going to learn, we just have to chazer over two psukim in the Torah. So, again, the Torah says that even if you have a kosher animal that had a kosher shechita, but the chalev of the animal, you're not allowed to eat. What's the English definition of the word chalev? Fats. Does that mean all fat of an animal you're not allowed to eat? You've had a piece of meat that had fat on it? The answer, of course, is no. There are fats that are kosher. There are fats that are not kosher. Chalev is a term that's used to describe the non-kosher fats. The Aramaic word to describe the kosher fats is shumen. That's why in Shas you find the idea where the chalev and the shumen were neschalev, because you have fats, all looks the same to us, and some of it is kosher and some of it is the worst of the worst. If you eat it, it's like you ate on Yom Kippur. If you eat it, it's like you ate chametz on Pesach. It's literally on the level of chavi krisos. In fact, just to bring out this point a little bit better, if somebody eats chalev b'shoigeg, the halach is, he would have to bring a carbon chatas. Because being that if somebody eats chalev b'mezid, it'd be chayiv karis, so it's a davish hezdoinei karis, b'shoigeg, you would have to bring a carbon chatas. The carbon chatas, very often in Shas, is referred to as the chatas chalev. And the reason is, because the most common chatas that was brought was a chatas that was brought for someone that accidentally ate chalev. Very easy to visualize. You're preparing your animal. Within the animal, there are fats. We'll see how nuanced it is in a second. That if you eat, is chayve krisis. And then there are fats that you're supposed to eat. So it's very common that perhaps somebody would go and he would make a mistake and he would confuse his chalev and his shuman. In fact, this was the most common example of someone that ever had to bring a carbon chatas. This is what the analytics teach us. This is actually what the Rishonim teach us. But the bottom line is, that's why very often the carbon chatas was referred to as the chatas chalev. So which chalavim are included in chalev that are very, very chamer? So here's the short answer. Any part of fat that if the animal was kachin, you would have to be makter them on the mizbeach, those are the chalavim that if the behem is chulin and you're eating, if you eat, you would be chayiv karis. Any part of the fats of an animal where it was kachim, it would not have gone on the mizbeach, that's the shumen that you would be allowed to eat. In fact, the reason that it's so chomer to eat chalev is because chalev is supposed to be legvaya, albeit when it's kachim. And it's for that reason, if you go ahead and you eat chalev, you're almost eating mishulchan gvaya, you're eating something that really doesn't belong to you. It's for that reason it's going to basa. So the shortest answer to which chalavim are aser and which chalavim are mutter is take a look in kachim. Open up a parashas Vayikra, see which chalavim went on the mizbeach. Those are the ones that are aser, chayvei krisos. The ones that didn't go on the mizbeach are going to be okay. Okay, so now here's the follow-up question. Very natural follow-up question. Which chalavim, which fats actually went on the mizbeach? So if you open up a parashas Vayikra, it's Perek Gimel, it's Pasuk Gimel. Incidentally, parashas Vayikra starts with the Karban Oila. Karban Oila doesn't talk about chalavim, and the reason is because all the basar of the oil went on the mizbeach. So you don't have to distinguish between this basar, that basar, this chalev, that chalev. The next carbon that's discussed is the carbon mincha. The carbon mincha didn't have any chalavim. It was carbs. The first carbon where it's negeya to talk about chalavim, where it's negeya to start getting nitty gritty, is the third carbon that's discussed in the Torah. It's the carbon shlomim, hence it's perikim. But either way, the pasuk says, v'hikriv mizevach ha-shlomim isha l'ashem. Es ha-chalev ha-mechasa es ha-kerev. The chalev that covers the kerev, very loosely translated, the innards of the animal. Ve'es kol ha-chalev asher al ha-kerev. Not just the chalev that's mechasa the kerev, but all the chalev that's on top of the kerev. There's distinction between the chalev that's mechasa the kerev and the chalev that's on the kerev. Ve'eshtei akloyos, the two kidneys, ve'es ha-chalev asher aleihen, and the chalev, here's another set of chalavim, that covers the kidneys, asher al aksolim, and the chalev that's on top of the flankish balaz, ve'es ha-yoseres ala kovet ala kloyos yesirana. Either way, We're not butchers or the son of butchers, to quote Rabbi Yochanan in today's daf, as we're going to see. And as a result, it's hard to know exactly what this all means. But the bottom line is the Torah does detail in some way what chalavim went on the Mizbech. Those are the chalavim that the Torah said that if somebody eats, it's going to be chayiv karis. Either way, a little bit of a wordy introduction. And on that note, we have a whole arichus now that are going to talk about things that maybe technically are above our pay grade, but at the same time very much related to sugyas of chalav. Says the Gemara Gufa, Amar Rav Sheshes, Amar Rav Asi. So why are we talking about chalav? Because we just mentioned Amar Rav Sheshes, Amar Rav Asi, who said a halacha regarding the chutin shebe chalav. Why did we say that? Because Abaye stelled it to the very critical machlekes between Rav and Ula in the world of Gid Hanasha. So we're going to now digress a little bit, talk about that halacha related to chalav, and from there we'll continue doing what we do. So again, what did Rav Shesha say in the name of Rav Asi? Chutin shebechelev, the chutin that are in the chelev. And Rashi said that it's talking specifically about the chelev that's on the kerev and the chelev that's on the ksalim. Those were two of the chalavim that were mentioned, the psukim that we just said. Asurim, the halach is asab achilev in chayav and aleim, but at the same time, one would not be chayav kars, which means midday raisa, those chutin are not really considered chelev, it's only midday rabbanon that they're considered chelev. Shebekulio, the chelev that's on top of the kidney, asurin are aser, and here too, ve'in chayav and aleh. One is not going to be chayav karis, because again, it's the chelev that's aser, but the chutin that are in the chelev are not going to be aser. Loivin kulyo, what about the white in the kidney? So the kidney, there's a picture in some gemaras, has a cavity inside, and that cavity is filled with something that looks white. Those are fats. Now, those fats are interesting because those fats are in the kidney. It's not on the kidney. It's not covering the kidney, but it's in the cavity of the actual kidney. Hence, it's its own little subcategory. So what about the loivin kulyo, which we know is chelev? Is it us or is it mutter? Rebbe, for Rebbe, was machlekes Rebbe Chi. Chadam one said us, it's going to be us. Pachatro, the other one said mutter. Says the Gemara that as it relates to how we paskin, so there was machlekes amayron. Rabba memaretle. Rabba, when he would shecht an animal, so he would, Rashi says, memari means to be misharish. He would root out all the white inside the kolya because he held like the chadasar. He held like the mandama that holds its asar. Rabbi Yoich memari late. Rabbi Yoich did the same thing. Ravasi gomle. Ravasi would just trim off the fats from the top, but whatever was inside the cavity, he would leave there because he held the leaven of the kolya. He held those fats are actually mutter. So again, machlik is Rebbe and Rabbi, we don't know who said what, and machlik is amiram. There we do know who said what. Rabbi Yochanan held the loivin of the kulyas aser. Rav Asi was goimle, he held it was mutter. Amar Abaya, Abaya said, kavase de Rav Asi misdaber. By the way, notice this signun, right? So sometimes when you're trying to follow the paper trail of a Gemara and understand why the Gemara digress, so Pashad, Abaya said, in the previous Gemara, Kavase de Ula Mistabri regarding the Machlekes of Gid Hanasha, and Ishteltzu Amar Rav Sheshes, Amar Rav Asi regarding the Chutin Shebechelov. Oh, you mentioned the Chutin Shebechelov, let's talk more about the Chutin Shebechelov. But when you go through the Gemara, you see, no, there's probably a little more to the methodology of why we're digressing. Because here in the discussion of the Chutin Shebechelov, Abaya says the same words he said in the first Gemara. Kavase over here, the Rav Asi Mistabra. It's actually Mistabra like Rav Asi. Again, what did Rav Asi do? He was gomle. He held that the Levin Shabakuya is really mutter. It's only what's on top, it's aser. Why? The Amr Abba, Amr Rav Yehuda Mashmul. Because Rav Abba said in the name of Rav Yehuda, who said in the name of Shmul, Chelev. The chelev, Rashi says, of the ksalim, of the flanken, shahabasar chayfa isai, that's covered by basar, mutter is going to be mutter. So the certain chalavim that the basar covers, so usually you think of the fats as covering the basar, but if there's chelev that the basar covers, so it's considered part of the basar, and therefore it's going to be mutter b'achilo, mutter mitai raisa, mutter d'rabanan, this is something that's going to be mutter. Alma, said Abaya, what do I see from what Abba said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, Al Moshal Aksalim Amar Rachmana, that when the Torah says the chelev that's on the ksalim is going to be aser, it's only the chelev that's on the ksalim, but not the chelev that's in the ksalim. And being that this chelev is sandwiched in basar, I look at it betoich the ksalim, not on the Ksalim. Well, if that's the case there, Hachanami, I think so too, as it relates to the Loivin Shebekulya, the Torah says, Vesachel Vacher Aleim, referring to the Kloyas, referring to the kidneys, Sha'ala Kloyas Amar Rachmana, Estafke the Chelav that's on top of the kidneys, Vilecha Batecha Kloyas, as opposed to the ones that are inside the kidneys. So the bottom line is, Abaye said it's Mistaber like Rav Asi, and the reason is because it's only the Chelav that's al, that's aser. You know, I know that. I know that from the Chelav Shalak Solim, because I know the ones that the Basas Chayfa is actually mutter. So, betoich is mutter, al is aser. So, too, as it relates to the kidney, if it's in the kidney, it's mutter. It's part of the Basar. Just because it's the Chelav, that in of itself doesn't make it aser. This is so tricky. It's only aser if it's literally covering the basar. But to the extent you can view it as being part of the basar itself, even though it's the same exact chelev as the one that's on the basar, it tastes the same. I don't care. If it's sandwiched in the basar, it's nesarev with the basar, it becomes basar. If it's on top of the basar, that's when we're having this conversation, says the Gemara. So we just mentioned where Rab Abba said the name Rav Yudin, the name of Shmuel, regarding the chelev shabasa chayfa oisai, that it's going to be mutter, says the Gemara Gufa. Amar Rab Abba, Amar Rab Yudin, Shmuel, chelev shabasa chayfa oisai mutter, fate the Gemara Eini, is that true? Could Rab Abba, Amar Rab Yudin, Amar Shmuel really have said that? For Amar Rab Abba, Amar Rab Yudin, Amar Shmuel, but Rab Abba, Amar Rab Yudin, Amar Shmuel, same formulation of Amayram, said the following, hai tarba de tusei masni, the fats that are underneath the loins of the animal, aser is aser. Now that fat is covered by basar. The basar of the loins, of the masnayim in Hebrew, covers it. So if that's the case, freaked the Gemara, how could it be that Rab Abba Amar Rab Yehuda Mashmul would say that chelav shabasa chayfa aser is mutter, and then in the same breath say, hai tarba de tusi masni aser, l'chur the tarba de tusi masni is covered by basa. Amar Abaya, Abaya again, he is the man d'amar in today's daf, like he is in almost every daf in Shas, said, behemah b'chayeh pruke mifrika. The basa that's underneath the masnayim is actually not considered basa, or the chelav that's underneath the masnayim is actually not considered chelav shabasa chayfa aser. And the reason is, because although when you flay the animal, you chop it up, at that point, the chelev that's underneath the masnayim is going to be covered. But while the animal's alive, there are times that it's not covered, and that is when the animal walks. So when the animal walks, so the evarim, they contract, and then they, you know, spread apart, come back together. And during that time, there is a point where the basa that's underneath the masnayim is actually exposed. And being that at that point, the chelav is exposed, so it's considered not chelav shabasa chayfe oisai, and that's going to be enough for it to be aser. So the only time chelav is considered shabasa chayfe oisai, that's if it's always covered, even when it's alive. But if there are moments of time while the animal's alive, while it's walking, while it's galloping, it's running, I don't know, there is a time where right now this chelav is exposed, that's enough for it to not be considered shabasa chayfe oisai, and that's enough to make it aser. That's exactly what the metzias is of hai tarba de tusi masni, says the Gemara. And by the way, if you want support to this, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, this is the one line in today's daf that I think we can all very much relate to. Ano lav tabach ano, v'lav bar tabach ano. I'm not a butcher and I'm not the son of a butcher. Stating that, when you hear it, I do remember, I remember that this question was posed in Beis Medrash, and they said, behemah b'chayeh prukei mifrika. This was the exact teretz that they said. So Rabbi Yochanan said, I'm being honest with you, this is outside of my lane, it's above my pay grade. I'm not talking because I really 100% understand what I'm saying. But I do remember hearing this in a shir, so I'm just saying over. The bottom line is, what Abaye said really comes and traces itself back to the great Rabbi Yochanan. Says another halacha that Rabbi Abba Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul said, we just said two, but another halacha that he said regarding chelav, Amar Rabbi Abba Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul, chelav shal hemseis beis hakoisos, the chelav that's on top of the hemseis and the beis hakoisos, those are two of the four stomachs of the animal of Perik Elu Treifus fame, Asurim the Asa Bachilo, for Anush Karis, and if somebody eats it would be Chayiv Karis, that's another way of saying that it's not only Asur, but it's Asur Midda Iraisa, Vizehu Chelov Shalakarev. This is what the Torah means when it talks about the Chelov Alakarev, which in a carbon was put on the Mizbeach, that is the chelav that's on top of the hemseis and the chelav that's on top of the besakoyses. V'am Rab Abba, Am Rab Yehuda Mashmul. No, the halacha of Rab Abba, Am Rab Yehuda Mashmul said, "Hai tarba de klibusta, the tarba, the fat that's on top of the klibusta." So what's the klibusta? So if you take a look at Rashi, "Dibra maschol tarba de klibusta, etzem katanhu." It's a small bone. Umunach al etzem shekoyrin hanka u'mechubel uchulis ha'alya mil maila. So this is a bone that's on the bottom of the vertebrae of the animal. It's very close to the alya, which is the tail. Va'olav yesh chelef, and there's a little bit of fat on top of it. And that's the tarba de klibusta. So said Rab Abba Om Rabino Mashmul, that chelef is also aser. Ve'anush karis, v'zeu chelef shalaksolim. And this is the chelef alaksolim. The Rishonim speak out that this is not all the chelef shalaksolim. The chelef shalaksolim is the flankish blaz of the animal, so it covers a much wider area. But this is included in the chelev shalaksolim. Amr Rabbi Mashmul, not halacha that he said chutin shebiyad. So chutin over here, as we'll see, is referring to the blood vessels that are in the hand. Rashi says it doesn't mean hand, it means the shoulder, and asurim are going to be asur. So the blood vessels in the shoulder of the animal are going to be asur. Amr Rav Safra, so Rav Safra heard this halacha, and he said, Moshe, mi amar rachmano leitechol bisra. He said, Rab Abba, amar Rav Yehuda Mashmul, but he didn't refer to him as Rab Abba, amar Rav Yehuda Mashmul. He said, Moshe, mi amar rachmano leitechol basar. Did the Torah say don't eat basar? I mean, what's going on? There's no fats over there. There's nothing there they're not allowed to eat. So why in the world should the chutin in the shoulder be a problem? Amar Rava. So Rava turned to Rab Safra, and he said, Moshe, oh, you call me Moshe, I'll call you Moshe. Moshe, mi amar rachmano. We'll find out who really is Moshe. The Torah allows you to eat blood? Not let it eat blood. In other words, what Rava was saying was that the reason Rabbi Abraham Yehuda Mashmul said that the chutin in the shoulder of Asab Achila is not because of chelev. There's no chelev over there. But it's the blood vessel. Those are the chutin. And the blood vessel has what inside of it? Blood. And because it has blood and the Torah says you're not allowed to eat blood, it's for that reason it's going to be a problem. It's true. The buster is not an issue. The Torah doesn't allow you to eat dam. Now, l'may nafkimino, Rava said, I'll tell you, there's a nafkimino if it's chelev or if it's dam. Chatche umalche, because if you're going to cut it and you're going to salt it, then it's going to remove the dam, right? We know salting the meat of an animal removes the blood, and I feel like they're nami shapidami. And at that point, if you're going to want to throw it into a kedera, it's going to be okay. Now, there is a discussion in the Rishonim, we're not learning the sugi of malicha, even though malicha is going to come up a few more times in today's daf, but it seems that because of this blood vessel, so we assume there's more blood there than there usually would be inside an animal, and it's for that reason, it's not enough to just salt it. You would have to be chatche first. First, you would have to chop it up, then you would salt it, and that would allow the blood to come out. And if you do that, you can even throw it into a kedera. There's another discussion in the Rishonim. What if you're not throwing it into a kedera? What if you're going to roast it? Again, this is something we'll see in the Gemara in a minute, that sli, roasting meat, extracts more from the meat than simply putting it in a pot and throwing it into a chicken soup. So being that sli extracts more, even though the Gemara says chatche, but it could be that's only necessary if you want to throw it into a kedera. But if you're going to be tzaylet, maybe not. Again, all discussions in the Rishonim, all beyond the scope of what we need for today's daf. But either way, this is another halacha that Rabbi Abba Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul said, but this one was a little bit of a curveball, because this wasn't related to chelev, this was actually related to dam. What was this halacha? The blood vessels in the shoulder of the animal are going to be awesome. Now, one interesting sidebar that emerged from this Gemara is Rav Safra heard the halacha, and he reacted to the Talmud Chacham that told it to him, and he said, Moshe. And Rava says, you want to know who Moshe is? You're the Moshe. Meaning, Moshe mi'amar rachmona le'techol bisra, Moshe mi'amar rachmona echel damo. And there's other Gemaras for this, where you find that sometimes Amiram would talk to each other, and they would refer to the respective Baal Plukta in a rather respectful way, and they would call them by a name. The name was Moshe. We once hypothesized out loud that maybe the reason you don't find anywhere in the Gemara, which is mind-boggling, or in Tanakh, by the way, that anybody other than Moshe Rabbeinu was called Moshe, right? So again, we have so many raid bites over the years about names. Names that once upon a time were given that somehow along the way they put a moratorium on. For example, Yishmael, right? Yishmael's the perfect, that's everyone's first example of that. But what about names in the reverse that today are so common that once upon a time nobody gave? Moshe is the best name for that, right? You know, it says on the Rambam's Kevah, Mi Moshe la Moshe, like come Moshe. I don't even know if there was a Moshe, Mi Moshe la Moshe, right? I mean, there was. But the point is that really people didn't give the name Moshe. And the question is what? We once thought that it sounds a little bit from these Gemaras that you had to earn the name Moshe. You don't just become Moshe. You Karish might be Yisrael Moshe. That's wishful thinking. Halavai, you should be Zoicha to that. Zah Kotten Godel Yik. Shem Shenichlas Abriz, Ken Yikonis, Otair Lachubal Amasim Toivim. Yeah, of course. Hoyd Lashem Kitoiv Kilaylam Chazdai. Hoyd Lashem Kitoiv Kilaylam Chazdai. That we get all that, but at the same time, it seems like once upon a time you had to earn the title. Oh, Rava tells Rav Safra, you're a Moshe, right? Rav Safra, who we know, we have a read bite about this from the Chassam Sofer that he used to write Chedushei Torah. That's why he was called Rav Safra. Anyways, Dvar Matik, and the bottom line is Sakti Gemara Vayitam Rav Yudah Mashmul. You have a lot of Gemara together. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel. So till now it was Amar Rav Abba Amar Rav Yehuda Mashmul. This is Amar Rav Yehuda Mashmul. No, Rav Abba. Reish Me'aya Ba'amsa. Boye Gerira. So the beginning of the Me'ayim, this is the beginning of the digestive system of the animal. How beginning? The Amma, that first Amma's of length, requires Gerira. It requires one to go ahead and shave off and to cut off all the fats. V'zeu Chelev Shal Hadaken. This is the Chelev Al Hadaken. Who said anything about Chelev Al Hadaken? We didn't have it in the pasuk that we mentioned it earlier. So what is the Chelev Al Hadaken? So Rashi sends us back to Elu Treifus, where it was Machlekes Rosh Rav Rabbi Akiva, whether the Chelev Shal Hadaken is Mutter or Aser. So Rav Yehuda Mashmul is saying, by Yegrira, he's picking sides. He's saying that the Chelev Shal Hadaken is Aser Ba'achilav. Amr Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, again, we had Amr Rav Abba, Amr Rav Yehuda Mashmul, then we had Amr Rav Yehuda Amr Shmul, and then we had Amr Rav Yehuda. It's a lot of fun when you tune in to the names, because as we like to say, the names matter. But either way, Amar Rav Yehuda, Chutin Sheba Uketz, the Chutin of the Uketz. So these Chutin are nerves. The Uketz is the hip. Asurin, the halacha is, they are going to be Aser. The reason they're Aser is because they're enmeshed in the Chelev, and those things are going to be Aser. Now, we already mentioned earlier that the chutin that are in the chalavim are not aser midairaisa, right? We had the chutin that was on the chelev, that's on the kerev, on the ksolim, on the kloyos, and we said specifically it's the chelev that's aser, but the chutin that's inside of it is not going to be aser. So presumably, in the same vein, and as mavu and Rashi, if you go le'il on daf tzadik beis on beis, Rashi speaks it out mafurish, that these chutin shabokits is the same thing. They're going to be aser, but only midrabban, and not going to be aser midrabban, because it's only the chelev itself that's aser midrabban. The chutin that are inside of it are not aser midrabban. But either way, this is Rav Yehuda's memra. The chutin shabokits are part of the fats, but they're the chutin of the fats. And it's for that reason they're only asa midrabban. It says the Gemara, a little bit of science. Chamsha chuti ispe bekafla. As relates to the kafla, the flankish, so there are five chutin that are there. In other words, the chutin shebeukits branch off into the flanken of the animal, and in total there's five of them. So again, these chutin are really called the chutin shebeukits. It's not a new halach. It's these chutin that we just mentioned a second ago. The reason we're calling them the chamsha chuti ispe bekafla because they go from the ukits into the flanken. But the bottom line is chamsha chuti ispe bekafla, the chutin shebeukits are five. Plus mi amina, there's three on the right side of the shedra, the tarti mismala, and there's two on the left side of the spine. Plus the three that are on the right, mefatsi litre tre. So each one of the three branch off into two sub-muscles, sub-nerves. Trei mefatzli l'tlasa tlasa. And the two on the left, each one branch into three. Nafgamina. Why do you have to know all this? The ishalaf lehu adachamimi mishtafi. Because if the shaykhit, after he shechts the animal, he immediately pulls it out, then you wouldn't even have to know. All you would have to know is that the chutin sheba ukit is asim adarabanan, it would slide right out if you did it immediately after the shechita, it's going to be okay. But for Eloi, but if you don't do it immediately afterwards, then you have to go find it, right? So then the search is on. And therefore, you have to know the metzias of it. This is three that branches to two. This is two that branches into three. By the way, they're both six, right? Three into two, two into three, so you end up with the same number. But the bottom is you have to know the metzias because you have to know what you're looking for. So it seems right after they shech the animal, the animal's hot, right? We know about that from all the taruvah sugyas from the beginning of the Masechta. So the animal's hot. It's tais. And therefore, a lot of these things are easy to just get out. But once you let it cool off and things start congealing, it gets really messy and ugly. And at that point, it's much harder to get it out. So therefore, the Gemara felt, Rabbi Yehuda felt, that he needed to tell us this metzias, that you have to know on the right side of the shedr, there's three, each one branches off into two. On the left side, there's two, each one branches off into three. Because if you're not going to slide it out seamlessly, then you're going to have to surgically remove it, and you have to know what it is you're going after. Amar Abaya. Abaya said, V'itema some say, Rav Yehuda. There's a lot of Abaya in today's daf, a lot of Rav Yehuda in today's daf. This Gemara, we're not sure. Is it Abaya or is it Rav Yehuda? Chan Shchuti Hava. There are five parts of the animal with the halacha related to these chutin, and I'm going to tell you what these five places are and what the halachas are. Tlasa, three of the halachas of chutin are mishum tarba. These are chelev related sugyas. So you have chelev. Inside the chelev, you have these chutin. Utrei mishum dama. And two of them is related to dam. So you have, again, this basar. But inside the basar, there are chutin. Now, the chutin of the chelev are muscles, nerves. The chutin that the blood is an issue, are blood vessels. We're using the same word chutin to describe both. So chamsha chutin, right? What's a chut? The michut v'atzroichna, right? A chut is a thread, but Chazal didn't have these medical words to describe the difference between a muscle and a blood vessel. They're all sort of chutin, right? L'saber es ha'izen, they look a little bit like chutin, but the point is, and that's what Abai is trying to say, there's five chutin, but three of them are chelev-related things, and two of them are dam-related things. Okay, so which ones are the chelev, which ones are the dam? The tachli, u the kafli, u the kulyasa, the chutin that are inside the tachli is the spleen, the kafli are the flanken, and the kulyasa are the kidneys, mishum tarba. These are all chelev-related. The yada, u the laya, as opposed to the chutin that are inside the hand, that's the shoulder that we saw about earlier, or that's on the jaw of the animal, mishum dama, that related to dam. L'may nafkimino, does it make a difference if it's a chelev issue or is it a dam issue? At the end of the day, chelev is aser, dam is aser, they're both chayvi krisis, so does it matter? The Gemara says, oh yeah, it matters. Handi, the mishum dama, the ones that are aser mishum dam, there's a way to fix it. Im chatechlu, if you would cut it, umalachlu, and you would salt it, shaper dami, you would remove the dam, then you'd be allowed to eat it. Hanach, but the ones that are aser mishum chelev, that's what the kanta, there's no way to be misakin. Amar afkahano, V'itamer Rav Yehuda. Rav Kahana said, and some say it was again Rav Yehuda. Chamsha karmehava. So we just mentioned that there are five chutin. There's also five membranes that are asabachila that are very important to know in the laws of kashrus of kosher animals. Tlasa mishum tarbo. Three of these membranes are also because of chelev. Trei mishum dam. Two of them also because of dam. The tachli, the kafli, the kol yisod. This is the same three that we had earlier. The spleen, the flanken, and the kidney mishum tarbo. That's chelev related. The bay u the mikra. The bay are the beitzim, the testicles of the animal. The mikra is the brain of the animal. Mishum dama, that's related to dam. Rav Yehuda bar Oishio, have a call of Flei Tachlo, says the Gemara. That note, a story. This is a chulin story. So Rav Yehuda bar Oishio was once removing the membrane that was on top of the spleen, right? We just said chamsha kar mihava, klosa mishum tarba. And one of the three that was mishum tarba was the tachli, was the spleen. Ah, so you're not allowed to eat it because of an isachelev. See, he's removing it, and he was doing it lelevi braid Rav Huna bar Chiya. Rav Huna bar Chiya had a son, Levi, and Rav Yehuda bar Oishia is doing this service for him. Have a kagoyim lemiloy. Now, Rav Yehuda bar Oishia was only removing the membrane from the top of the spleen, but not the bottom. The chelek hatachtoin, that's not something that he was removing. Amale, so Levi Braid Rav Huna bar Chiya told Rav Huna bar Oishia, Tom Chus Beit Fei, you have to go further down. You have to remove not just from the top, you have to remove from the Rabbanim as well. So Limor says, Asavu, in the meantime, Rav Huna bar Chiya, who's Levi Braid Rav Huna bar Chiya's father, came, right? Who's Levi Braid Rav Huna bar Chiya's father? That's not a trick question. It's Rav Huna bar Chiya. So Rav Huna bar Chiya shows up, Ashkechei, and he sees how his son Levi is telling Rav Yehuda bar Oishia what to do, right? He's bossing him around. But he's telling him, Chus Beit Fei, you're not taking enough of the membrane. You only take it from the top. You got to also take from the bottom. Amalei, so he told him, meaning Rav Huna bar Chiya told his son Levi, Hachi Amar Avu Adi Imach Mishum Derav, that your mother's father, right? So this is a father telling his son, you know your mother's father said in the name of Rav, says the Gemara, I'm assuming that Levi, the son of Rav Huna Bar Chiya, knew who his mother's father was, but we don't know who he was. So Umano says the Gemara, who was this? It was none other than the great Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba. What Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba say, Le Asra Torah Ela Shal Adad Bovad, that this membrane that's on top of the spleen that needs to be removed, it's only the part that's on top of the dad, it means like the highest parts. You have to remove the chelok ha'elyon. But as it relates to the chelok ha'tachton, that's not something you have to remove, which is what Rav Yehuda bar Oishia knew, which is what Levi did not know. And his father came and he told him, he says, no, you're wrong. I understand you're being very machmer over here, but you're actually being too machmer. Because what Rav Yehuda bar Oishia is doing is correct. You only have to remove the top part. You don't have to remove the bottom. Let me ask you a kasha on this. Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna said, Tani, we learned in the braiso, krum sha'al hatchol oser. The krum, the membrane that's on top of the spleen is aser. The ain't chayav and olav, and you're not gonna be chayav kar. Says more, hey chidami, which krum are we talking about? Ile mashallah dad. Are we talking about the krum that's on the dad, the membrane that's literally on top of the dad? Am I ain't chayav and olav? Why are you not chayav? I mean, the Gemara understands that the membrane is part of the real chaylev, and if that's the case, it should be aser midei raisa. And if it's aser midei raisa, you should be chayav kars. Now, just to highlight one point, we talked earlier about the chutin that are in the chaylev. The chutin in the chaylev is not the real chaylev, but the krum, the membrane of the chaylev that the Gemara thinks is. So afraid the Gemara, that's poshet, that the krum shalat chayl, if you tell me asav ein chayav and olav, it can't be the shpitz. It can't be the chaylev that's ala dat. Ela must be the kule, it must be the rest of the krum. In other words, it must be there are parts of the membrane that are asav edei raisa and parts not. But what do you see from here? What you see from here is that, there's actually a chaylev of the membrane on the spleen, that although it's not the real thing, it's not daladat, it's the lower part, but it's asar al-kopanim ed-rabba. You know who asked this kasha? Levi was the one who asked this kasha to his father. After his father gave him this whole musa shmuz, your grandfather, after the whole thing, he says, how are you going to learn this braisa? Amalei, Rav Huna Bar Chiya told his son Levi, he's saying very good. Itanya, Tanya, if you have such a braisa, I mean, I never heard this braisa, but if you have such a braisa, I'll take your word for it, and if that's the case, you're right. I misspoke, and Rav Yehuda Bar Oishia was wrong. You have to cut more, because even though the only chelot that's asam edei raisa is the chelot that's aladad, but even the lower parts is also akapanim edirabban, gufa. Amar Rav Hamnuna, Rav Hamnuna said, Tana, krum shalat chol. The krum that's on top of the chol, aser, ve'in chayavin, olav. Krum shal gabi kulya, the krum that's on top of the kidney, also aser, ve'ein chayovinov. So this is the memra that we just brought 1 second ago, that Levi brought 1 second ago, the Itanya Tanya, who that said that the krum that's on the tchol is aser, ve'ein chayovinov. Why did Levi bring it? Levi brought it to bring out the point that must be, there's two parts of the krum shalat chel. There's the part that's ala dad, that's going to be asam edei raisa, but there's another part, the lower part, that's going to be asam edei rabban. Another thing, notice, this braisa that the Gemara brought now is the longer version of it. Because here we have the halacha not only regarding the krum shalat chel, but also the krum shal gabi kulya. When the Gemara initially, when Levi introduced this braisa to us, he didn't say anything about the kulya, because they weren't discussing the kulya. This was a real life story. He has a spleen, and Rav Yehuda Bar Oishia is removing the krum, and he's only taking the top, not the bottom, and there's a whole shiloh over here, whether that is okay or whether that's not okay. Over here, we're talking lemaisa about the actual braisa. The braisa also says something regarding the kidney. That's why we bring the kidney part of it as well. But anyway, the Gemara asks Akasha, Vatanya chayav in olav. We have another braisa that says, regarding both of these krum, inside the krum that's on the tchol, inside the krum that's on the kulyo, the halacha is, you're going to be chayav. So let's meditate on this a second. We have two braisas. We have a braisa that says, the krum that's on the spleen, the krum that's on the kidney, is aser, the in chayav in olav, which means only aser, midirabbanon. And we have another braisa that says asa v'chayavanol, which means it's asa midai raisa. So we have a stira, sayin spleens and sayin kidneys. Now, as it relates to the spleens, we know the answer. Right? What's the answer going to be? One braisa that says asa midai raisa chiv kars. The other one says not. Is it al gabe adad? Is it al gabe adad? So the Gemara says, chol at chol leikasha, ha keneged adad, ha shol keneged adad. That's poshid. I mean, if we learned the last Gemara, we know what the answer to this kash is. But kulya kulya nami le kashna, as relates to the kulya kulya, it's also not fair. Ha be'ila, the one that says that it's aser mida eraisa, that's the one that's on top. Ha betata, the one that says not, that's the one that's on bottom. What would be the reason to distinguish, by the way, between on top and on bottom? Because that's what the Torah says. The Torah, when it talks about the chelev, it says sha'al ha'kloyas, on top of it, as opposed to on bottom of it. Yeah, mida rabbanon, you can see why it would be aser. But if it's not on top of it, it's not going to be aser mida eraisa. Either way, we're now going to pivot. And we're going to talk a little bit about the beitzim, the testicles of the animal. Now, that just came up earlier, right? Rav Kahana of Itaim Rav Yehuda said there are five membranes. Three are asa mishum chelov, two are asa mishum dam. The ones that were asa mishum dam are the bei and the mikra, which are the beitzim and the brain, respectively. Says the Gemara, bei chashi lasa. Rashi explains, we're talking about where the testicles of the animal got detached, but not 100% detached. So they're almost 100% detached. They're encased inside the scrotum of the animal, but they're mostly detached, but they're a little bit attached. And there was a machlokes on Meiron, whether after the shechita, you'd be allowed to eat these beitzim or not. Rav Ami v'Rav Asi, chad asa v'chad shay. Now, what would be the reason that would be asa? We'll see in a second. Because of eva menachai. So what's eva menachai? Eva menachai is any eva that is purish from a chai. Even if later you do a kosher shechita, it's going to be an issue. So essentially, the question is, these bei chashil asa, do we view them as having been severed from the animal while it was alive? As a result, eva menachai, or it's not eva menachai? So it was a machlokes Rav Ami v'Rav Asi. We don't know who said what. Chad aser v'chad shor. Man da aser, the one that said it's aser, middle like a barian. You know why? I view it as eva menachai, because these beitzim will never regenerate. Which means even though they're a little bit attached, they're not attached enough to view them as being part of this live animal. V'haraya, if they were, they would heal at some point. Midaloid kabarion, they're not going to become buried, they're not going to become healthy, they won't regenerate, must be they're not part of the animal anymore. And if that's the case, hani eva menachayinu. Man the shari, the one that says it's mutter, is midaloid kamasarchen. Because if there's an eva of an animal that gets severed, it gets removed, it starts decomposing, it starts smelling, that doesn't happen to these beitzim. Oh, must be hani chiyus ispu. It must be it's still on some level receiving chiyus from the animal, it's being yoinek from the animal. It's for that reason, I don't view it as Eva Menachai, it's going to be okay. Now, each one of these Amiram, we don't know who said what, but each one of these Amiram seem to make a compelling argument. On the one end, you can argue that it's Eva Menachai, Midalai Kabarion. On the other end, you could argue it's not Eva Menachai, Midalai Kamasar. So really, each Amir is going to have to defend his position. Like, why am I saying Midalai Kabarion? Therefore, it's Eva Menachai. Maybe I should argue Midalai Kamasarchon. Must be it's not Eva Menachai, and vice versa, says the Gemara V'idach. The man that said that it's Eva Menachai, Haidaloi Ka Mesarchan, he'll argue that the reason it's Loi Mesarchan is not because it's not Eva Menachai, but rather it's Loi Ka Sholut Boavira. The reason the Ivarm of an animal, once they're severed, decompose, is because they're exposed to the elements. This is not exposed to the elements. It's still inside the animal. And being that it's still inside the animal, that's why it's not decomposing. But that's not a raya that it's being yoinek from the animal. It's Eva Menachai. The Idach, the Mandama that says the Beitzim are mutter. Why they mutter? Because it's being yoinek from the animal. Aye, if it's being yoinek from the animal, why doesn't it regenerate? Because sometimes things don't regenerate. Sometimes it could be a machla that unfortunately it gets it to the point that there is no ability for it to heal. Amalei Rab Yoichanan le Rab Shemen Barab. Rab Yoichanan told Rab Shemen Barab. Hani beichashi losa sharyen. That as it relates to this shayla, Chloikis Rab Ami Rab Asa, I'm going to tell you what I think it's mutter. However, v'at, you, me, what do you mean you? You come from Bavel, Rashi says. Loi techol, you should not eat it. Mishum v'altitesh teres imecha. Rashi quotes, I mean, without saying it, the sugya in Makam Shenagum, Mesachtes Pesachim, that talks about there's an Indian, you have to keep the minhag Makam. So I hold mi ikra din, you want to know if it's mutter, it's aser. It's mutter. I hold hani beichashi losa sharia. I don't think it's Eva Menachai. It's still attached to the animal. Midulei kamasarchan. But in Babel, they were noyeg chumra, and therefore, Rabbi Yechon told Rabbi Shem and Baraba, you know, you're in Eretz Yisrael now, so you're seeing everybody eats this, and you're not eating this, because you have to follow your minhag hamakom from Babel, which is where you came from, says the Gemara. Another halacha related to the beitzim of an animal. Amar mar baravashi, hani bei de gadya. The beitzim of a gdi, of a goat. Atal sinyoymen, shayim b'lay klipa. For the first 30 days, you're allowed to eat it without removing the membrane. So again, we're going back to the halacha we saw earlier, and that is chamsha kar mehava. Two of the membranes are asa mishum dam, the beitzim and the moyach, which means you have to remove this membrane. So Mar Rabashi says a chiddush. He says that as it relates to the beitzim of a gdi, for the first 30 days, you don't have to worry about it. The reason is because we assume that the dam in the aver is not fully developed yet, and it's for that reason we have to worry about it, right? Why do we say you have to remove the membrane of the beitzim? It's related to dam, right? Three of them was because of Chelev, two of them was because of Dam. The Dam hasn't fully developed it yet, and therefore Shayim like creeping off to remove any memories. But Kamba Ilich, after 30 days, E Azron, if there's Zera inside the Gedi, meaning it's able to be Moitzi Zera, Asurin, then it will be also to eat unless you remove this Klippa, unless you remove this membrane. V'iloy Azron, if however, it's not Mazriya Sharyon, it's going to be Moitzi. And how do you know if this Gedi was able to be Mazriya? Wasn't Yishachter, right? How do you know if it was able to be Mazriya? Wasn't able to be Mazriya? So the Gemara says, E is Bushuraiku Sumki. If it has these red veins inside of them, Asirin's going to be also less Bushuraiku Sumki. If you don't have these strips of red, Sharyon, in that case, it's going to be Mutter. Meaning the red is a sign of blood, then you know that you have to remove the membrane, Mishum Dama. If it doesn't have it, however, in that case, it's not going to be asr. Me'inyan le'inyan ba'isa inyan. Umtzi. Umtzi is raw meat. Be'i are the beitzim that we've been talking about. Umizriki, these are blood vessels in the neck of an animal. Pligiba Rav Achav Ravina, there was a machlokes between Rav Acha and Ravina. B'chala Torah kula. In the entire Torah, meaning throughout Torah Shabbat Peh. Ravina l'kula v'racha l'chum. Whenever there's a machlokes between Rav Acha and Ravina, Ravina is the mekel and Rav Acha is the machmer. V'hilchas like Ravina l'kula. And the halacha is like Ravina l'kula. Meaning, Ravina is always the Mekel, Ravachu is always the Machmer, and we paskin like Ravina the Mekel. The Bar Behani class, with the exception of these three things that we just mentioned, the Ravacha Lekula, Ravacha is the Mekel, Ravina Lechum, Ravina is the Machmer, this is Ravacha Lekula, and the Halach is like Ravacha Lekula. So again, we always paskin like the Mekel, usually Ravina is the Mekel. In these three cases, which we're about to introduce now, it's the other way, Ravacha is the Mekel. Now, what does it mean, Kala Torah Kula? Every single place in the Torah, what does that mean? So Rashi says, it doesn't mean every time there's a machlokes between Ravacha and Ravina, Ravina's the Mekel, Ravacha's the Machmer. It means every time there's a machlokes, Ravina, Ravacha, and you don't know who said what. So in those situations, assume Ravina's the Mekel, assume Ravacha's the Machmer, and by the way, you don't have to look up Rav Rumar Golis to say for Shem Olam to know who said what, because you know Ravina's the Mekel, Ravacha's the Machmer, and I'll tell you better, even know what the halach is. You know Ravina is the Mekel. These three times regarding Umtzi, Bey, and Mizrachi, it's Machlokes, Ravina, Ravacha. Again, we don't know who said what. Here you should know Ravacha was the Mekel. And by the way, just like we're Mekel in all the other cases, we're going to be Mekel in this case as well. If you remember, we spoke about this at the very, very beginning of the Masechta. Because who's Stam Ravacha in Shas, according to most of the Mechabri Svarim on this Inyan? It's Ravacha Berei de Rava. So the fact that you would have B'chol HaTorah Kula, a Machlokesin between Rav and Ravacha, between Ravina and Ravacha Brei de Rava makes so much sense because they're the two right-hand men of the great Ravashi. And therefore, we got very confused. We couldn't remember who said what. They were so interchangeable. Even though we only know Ravina, we don't know Ravacha Brei de Rava. But Lameisa, they were so interchangeable, they had a million of these Chadama Chadamas. This is the one time we even have a rule for it. We don't have a rule for Rav and Shmuel. We have a rule for Ravina and Ravacha. By the way, another thing you see over here is that Ravina was usually the Mekel, Ravacha was the Machmer. Right, so you could see that for checks and balances. Right, if you're Ravashi and you're assembling a team, so you know it's a good chance you're going to want your Machmer on your team and you're going to want your Mekel, right? We have our in-house Machmer, we have our in-house Mekel. This is maybe a little bit insightful into the roles that Ravina and Ravacha played respectively. So Ravina is always the Mekel, Ravacha is the Machmer. We have three exceptions, which is why we're talking about this right now, because the three exceptions are very much related to the Gemara that we're learning. Again, so what are these three things? Umtzi, Bei, Umizriki. Umtza, the asmik. So first things first, umtza. That's raw meat. So if the butcher chops the meat and he looks at the meat and it's very red, it's like more red than it usually is after you do a shechita. What must have happened was, must have been some wound that occurred while the animal was alive and, I don't know, some blood gathered in this area, and as a result, that's why it's so red. So the halacha is like this: chatcha, in the event that you'd go ahead and you would cut it, umolcha, and you would salt it, I feel like they're not mishapadami. Then you could throw into your pot. Meaning, what are you worried about? Blood? Okay, there's always an option. Do malicha. And by the way, cut it first. Like we mentioned that earlier. If there's a more intense gathering of blood, so then you want to be chatcha first. Once you do that, you can even throw into the pot. Everything's going to be okay. Talya b'shvuda. In the event that the person went and he just suspended it from the spit, he was going to roast it. Dav dama. At that point, you know for sure that the dam is going to come out. And pasha, what it means is, you wouldn't even have to cut it. So if you want to throw it into the pot, chatcha, molcha, then you're going to be okay. If, however, you want to roast it, then the halach is suspended from a spit, even if you didn't cut it, And even if you didn't do a proper malicha, again, we're not learning the sugya's of malicha now, you would have to do a little bit of a malicha, but even if you didn't do a proper malicha, that would also be okay. A gumri, what would be if the person went and he didn't hang it from a spit, but he light it down on coals? So what type of kashering process would you have to do to remove the blood from this raw meat? That's where the machlekes was. Pligi bar Rav Acha v'Rav Yehudah once said mishav she'ivilei. Yeah, that's fine. That's okay because, you know, a little bit of salting, maybe you don't even have to cut it, but all the dam is going to come out. The other one said mitzvah samsile. Now, if you're going to put it on top of the coals, the blood is not going to come out. To the contrary, it's actually going to go further in. It's going to contract, and it's for that reason it's going to be asav achila. That is not a proper method of kashering, and therefore you're going to have an iser dam. The same exact machlokes Rav Acha Ravina was regarding the beitzim, v'chein mizraki, regarding the blood vessels that were in the veridin. Again, if you chopped it up and you salted it properly, you can even cook it. If you went ahead and you salted it a little bit, even if you didn't chop it up, but if you hung it from a spit, that's also going to be okay. If you went and you want to just lie it down on coals without cutting it and salting it properly, that's the machlokes between Rav Acha and Ravina. Says the Gemara, another halacha related to kashering an animal. Again, in the world of dam. So Rashi says that the metzias of this was harosh, the head of an animal. Kishiroitz and lahaser sayre. When the butcher wants to remove the hair from the head of the animal, noisen olav mayim, he would put water on top of it, umatmida noisa beremetz, and then he would bury its head inside hot ashes, and by him doing that, the hair would come out, right? That was the idea. So, says the Gemara, if someone went ahead and he did that, oisviya beis hashchita, if the way he covered the head with the remetz was, with the beis hashchita, the area that he severed, that he shechted the animal, was exposed to the ground. So the schnitt is facing the ground. Doiv dama v'shari. At that point, we're going to assume that when he does this, all the blood is going to come running out of the head, and that in and of itself will constitute kashering, and you won't have to worry about the dam that's inside the head of the animal. At stadim, if he goes ahead and he does this while the head of the animal is lying on its side, mikvah kafi, then the dam that's inside is going to congeal, right? It's not in a position where it can easily flow out, and to the contrary, you're going to end up with a bigger dam problem that you're going to have to kasher later. For us, it's going to be asr. What would be if he did it in a way where the beis hashchita is not exposed to the ground, so the dam can't flow out of the beis hashchita, but the nostrils are exposed, so the dam can flow out of the nostrils? Do we assume that the dam is going to come out or not? Someone says it depends. Dotzbe midi, if he puts something to make the nostrils a little bit wider, so now there's more of a lane for it to come out of, shari, it's going to be mutter. We assume the dam came out, and if not, usher, it's going to be usher. Ikid amri, some had a slightly different version of this. As it relates to it being in a position with a beis hashchita or the nostrils were exposed, we assume the dam is going to come out and then the head is going to be mutar b'achila. That in itself is your kashering. At stadim, if it was put on the sides, that's when you have the salach. Eat, that's bein midi, shari. If you did it in a way where the blood could fall out, even when it's lying on the sides, there's some opening where it can come out of. So then the halach is that it's going to be mutar b'achila. And if not, aser, it's going to be aser gufa. Amar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, if it's in the name of Shmuel, shnei gidin hei. So whenever you see the word gufa, you know that we're mentioning something that we already mentioned. Now this memra of Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul, we mentioned, but we mentioned it two dafen ago. So we didn't just mention it now, we mentioned it a little while ago. And if you remember, the Gemara mentioned that there were two gidin as it relates to the gid anasher, right? This is very critical. There's the gid apnimi and there's the gid hachitzin. The gid apnimi is the one that's aser. The gid hachitzin is the mature gid. That's the one that is going to be mutter. So the Gemara is going to chaz over this halacha, ask a kasha and say a teretz. So if you descend the name of Shmuel, shnei gidin hein, there's the pnimi and there's the chitzin. Hapnimi is the one that's samach la'etzem. That's closer to the thigh, to the bone. Aser, and that's the one that's aser. V'chayav and olav and yichayef. What do you chayef for? This is gedanosha. This is not chelav and dam anymore. It's yichay malchus, being over the lav of gedanosha. Chitzoin, the shorter one, that's the outer one, right? That's like on the outside part of the yerech. Samach labasar, that's actually closer to the basar, or more than closer to the basar. It's enmeshed, as we saw, in the basar. And therefore, it's going to be aser, because it's technically, maybe on some level, part of the gedanosha. But ain chayav and olav, you're not chayav because it's not the gedanosha. The Torah said it's aser. So the Rabbanu went ahead. The Rabbanu said it's aser. But midday rice, it's not going to be Vatanya, we learned in a braisa, pnimi samach labasar. Now this braisa, we're just bringing this one little excerpt. The braisa over there in full says essentially what Rav Yehuda Mashmul said. And that is the gida pnimi is the one that's asar, the gida chitzain is the one that's mutter. Stating that, whereas Rav Yehuda Mashmul described the gida pnimi as being samach la'etzem, the braisa described it as being samach labasar. So the kasha is not on the halacha, the kasha is on the description. Is the gida pnimi the one that's samach to the etzem? That's what Rav Yehuda Mashmul said. Or is it samach to the basar? That's what the braisa says. And by the way, as an innocent bystander, which is what we are, we're confused. Which is the pnimi, which is the chitzen? So the tzad hashava is, the pnimi is the one that's asar. But will the real pnimi please stand up? I don't know what the pnimi is. You're telling me it's the one that's samach la'etzem. The braisa is telling me it's the one that's samach to the basar. Amar Rav Acha, Amar Rav Kahana, ikludi miklut. The way Rashi explains is, as that la'olam, to get up, pnimi is the one that's samach le'etzem, which is what we thought it was, which is what Rav Yehuda Mashmul said. The reason this Bryson describes it as samach le'basar, because on some level it is samach le'basar. Rashi says there's a point where that gid meets the basar, like a key meets the hole in the door that the key is going into. Oysoy gid ha'aruch chayzev v'nichnes be'basar. And it's for that reason we can refer to it as samach labasar. In other words, the price is not being choylik. The price is not giving a different taich of which gid is asr. The gid that's asr is the one that's notably samach la'etzem. It describes it as samach labasar because there is a point where it's samach labasar. Now, why would the price have even said it? Probably because the price just wants to give us a better description of what the gid hanasha is. That you should know, I know you know it's the one that's samach la'etzem, but just make sure it's also the one that on some it segues, it migrates a little bit into the basar. If you got that gid, you know you got the right one. It's just another descriptive characteristic of the Gid Hanasha for us to have a better idea of what the Gid Hanasha is. The Gemara now asks the reverse kasha. And that is, Rav Yehuda Mashmul said that the chitzain is the one that's mutter, and we described it as samach labasar. V'adanya, that same braisa that we just mentioned 1 second ago, said chitzain samach la'etzem. So again, it says that the chitzain is the one that's mutter, but it doesn't describe it as being samach labasar, it describes it as being samach la'etzem. So is it samach labasar, samach la'etzem? Rav Yehuda said a similar teretz, heicha the pari tabachin. Avad, it's the one that's samach labasar. But this price, again, wanted to give another way of identifying this gid. You have to know. Number one, to know it's not the real gid hanasha. Number two, to know that it is asr midrabanan. And what we said is, it's samach la'etzem. What does it mean, it's samach la'etzem? What it means is heicha debari tabach. So we've seen this idea a lot. And that is that when the butcher goes ahead and he chops up the animal, so there is a point, it's between the thigh and the hip of the animal, where some of the bone is going to be exposed, and you'll see over there this gid, and this is the gid that's not the real gid hanasha. This is the one that's only asr midrabanan. So again, the gid apnimi is the one that's asr, the gid achitzain is the one that's mutter. High level, you would describe the gid apnimi as being samach la'etzem, and the gid achitzain as being samach labasar. There is a point where the gid apnimi is samach labasar. That's what the braisa was referring to. And there is a point where the gid achitzain is samach la'etzem after the butcher chops it. And it's for that reason there is a braisa that describes it as being samach la'etzem. Itmar tabach shenimtzal chelav achrov, a butcher that was found to have left over a little bit of the chelav in the animal. So this butcher is a problem. So how do we deal with this guy? Old school. Rav Yehuda says, b'kisa'ira, that if there's literally a barley grains worth of chelav that was found, we're going to deal with him. Rav Yehuda said, b'kisa'is. No, it'd have to be a much bigger shnir. Not b'kisa'ira. It would have to be ready b'kisa'is. Rav Papa, because there's different definitions of dealing. Kan lahal koisoi, kan le'abroi. As it relates to removing him from his position, that's what Rav Yehuda was referring to. B'kisa'ira, as it relates to giving him malchus, meaning punishing him old school. He's not high malchus for being over a lav in the Torah, but at the same time, punishing him, lahal kosai, that already would have to be a bigger shir, would have to be kazayas. So even though it sounds like it's a machloikis when we punish this guy, Amar Rav Papa v'loy pligi, right? Rav Papa is always the one making shalom and shas, right? Let's do both. That's Rav Papa. So Rav Papa over here says v'loy pligi. There's really no machlokes. He was talking about removing him from his position, and he was talking about punishing him. Amar Azutra said a different teretz. He said no. That b'kisa'ira, as it relates to the sa'ira, when Rav Yehuda said kisa'ira, he meant b'makom echad. Kizayis, Rav Yehuda said kizayis, he found afilu b'shnayim v'shloishim mekaymes. Meaning, if you found it in one place, it would have to be kisa'ira. If you found it in multiple places, even if each one is is pachas mikisayra. But if they aggregate, they tally up to a shir of a kezayis, at that point it's going to be a problem. And again, Marzuch was saying also loy pligi, but he has a different way of reconciling these two shittas in light of the fact that they're not really arguing. It's not kan la abri, kan la halkoisei, kan b'makam echad, kan b'shnayim v'shleishim makam. It says the Marva Hilchasa, who do we paskin like? Is Rapapa's the real psak or Marzuch's? La halkoisei b'kezayis, la abri b'kezayra. It's based on Rapapa's formulation. Either way, we now return to the Mishnah, which was at the very, very, very beginning of the parak. So the Mishnah, at the very end, had brought a machlekes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim with regards to whether or not a butcher is believed to say that he removed the gid hanasha. Rav Meir held, in a tabach and a manan al gid hanasha, that the butchers are not trusted to say that they removed the gid hanasha. Chachamim, mayrim, ne manan alav. They are believed, and then the Chachamim, for good measure, threw in, oh, by the way, vala chelav. They also believed to say that they removed the chelav. Gemara is going to say, no one's saying about chelav, why are we throwing in chelav? Says the Gemara, in a tabach and a manan. Again, al gid hanasha, divi Rav Meir, the Chachamim say they are neman. Am Rabchi Barab, am Rabbi Yechanan. Rabchi Barab said the name Rabbi Yechanan, chazru leimin ne manan. That even though Rav Meir lechatchila held that the butchers were not believed to say that they removed the Gid HaNasha, but at some point afterwards they came around and they said that no, that even according to Rav Meir, even it's going to be mutter, we could always trust the butchers. Rav Nachman heard this. Amar Rav Nachman, he said, Ach Shadari, right? This goes against the grain. It's supposed to be a Yerida Sadair. It's what? We got frummer? We're more trustworthy now than we were back in the day. We know that's not the case. So the Gemara explains. Mikara Davisavaduk Rav Meir, the olden days, so the butchers held like Rav Meir. Which Rav Meir? So this is already a different Rav Meir. This is Rav Meir that's coming up later in the parak. Rav Meir holds that removing the Gid HaNasha requires a much bigger job. Meaning you have to take out, Rashi's Lashon is, Boi Chatita Utrichaluhum Nusa. It's a very, very big job. So they held, the butchers, that what you need to remove is so much. And it's for that reason they have a mehemne, they weren't believed, because nobody trusted them that they were going through the tircha to remove all this. But then they came around and they held like Rabbi Yehuda, who's Rav Meir's Baal Plukta later in the parak, that tells you don't have to remove so much. Just remove the sciatic nerve and you're good to go. But if you don't have to do so much, then there's no reason not to trust them. So it's not that it became frummer, but it's that there was a certain halacha that flipped. And that was, they used to try to do more. If you try to do more, counterintuitive. Now we're not going to trust. Oh, because you're so frum, it's a chumra the asil l'dei kula, therefore we can't trust you that you actually did it. Oh, but now that to be maker like Rabbi Yehuda, so yeah, there's no reason not to trust that. At the very least, they took out. I mean, it sounds like what was nimnu v'gomru later was is dalachas like Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, if that's like Rabbi Yehuda, we can trust them. To do a little bit of a removal, a little bit of a nikur that we trust them for, to do a large scale removal, that's not something we could amassal say. But there were those that had Rabbi Yochanan's memra, not on the Reisha, not on the sheet of Rav Meir, but read on the Chacham. What does Seifa say? The Chachamim Oimer Neman and Olav Valachelav. No, that they are believed. They're believed to say they removed the Gid HaNasha, and they're believed to say that they removed the Chelav. Am Rabbi Chibarab, Rabbi Yochanan, and it was on this Rabbi Chibarab said the name Rabbi Yochanan. Chazru Leimer in Nemanim. They came around and they said that no, they're actually not going to be believed. Am Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman here commented, he said, Bezman hazen emonim. Now they're going to believe. Freik the Gemara on Rav Nachman ach shadari. So you remember, in the first Gemara, Rav Nachman was the one who asked the Kasha ach shadari. Here, Rav Nachman is the one that says emonim. Again, the Chachamim said in the Mishnah emonim. Rav Yochanan said, no. Chazru lemi ein emonim. Rav Nachman said, no, we put back the good old days. Now again, then emonim. Now the Gemara is asking on Rav Nachman, is it possible ach shadari? So the Gemara explains, Mikara, Savruk Rabbi Yehuda. In the beginning of time, they held like Rabbi Yehuda. That what? That you have to just remove a little bit. It's for that reason the Chacham Shita was Nemanim. Hada Savruah ki Rav Meir. Then they came around and the Midik started becoming Rav Meir. Oh, so if the Midik was Rav Meir, all the butchers are doing this massive removal. So I'm Rabbi Chiyab, I'm Rabbi Yechon, Chazu Amei Nemanim. It's perfectly understandable why they said it's going to be a problem. So Kama, the Havadikir, the Rabbi Yehuda, Loi Mehemni. They weren't believed to say that they went ahead and they did like Rav Meir. Now, what does this law mean? Kama, the Havadikir, the Rabbi Yehuda, is when they were aware of Rabbi Yehuda's sheet. Again, the Olam paskind l'chatchila like Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, it's an easy removal. The butchers will believe. But then they switched the halacha. They decided the halacha is really like Rameir. But they still remember there was a shittur of Rabbi Yehuda. Because they still remember the shittur of Rabbi Yehuda, they would be Meira Heter to go like Rabbi Yehuda when the halacha is really like Rameir. And for that reason, they're not believed. Because we assume if you did a nikur, the best you did was a Rabbi Yehuda dig a nikur, which is not enough of a nikur, and therefore we can't trust you. Vahashtadan shulid Rabbi Yehuda. So this is a little interesting. But then they forgot about shittur of Rabbi Yehuda. The whole shittur of Rabbi Yehuda wasn't even a real thing anymore. So now if they said that they did the nikur in Amarim, they're going to be believed. The only time they didn't believe the butchers is when there was the halacha was presumed to be like Rabbi Yehuda, and the halacha was presumed to be like Rabbi Meir, but the butchers are mindful of Shittas Rabbi Yehuda. They didn't forget Shittas Rabbi Yehuda. So that's a shita in the veld. So then we are concerned that maybe they're going ahead and they're being makel like Rabbi Yehuda. We're really supposed to be machel like Rabbi Meir. But when the halacha was like Rabbi Yehuda, for sure we were able to trust them. And even when the halacha became like Rabbi Meir, but when they forgot about Rabbi Yehuda, even then we were willing to trust them. Right? The Chachamim are trusting them much more than Rabbi Meir is. But the point is that when they trusted them originally, it was because halacha Rabbi Yehuda, it's an easy removal. Then they said, oh, the halacha is Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha is like Rabbi Meir, that you have to do a big removal. And maybe when you're saying you did the nikur, you mean Rabbi Yehuda, I can't trust you. The Chazru Loimer was when they realized that the halacha is like Rabbi Meir, but they forgot Shittas Rabbi Yehuda. Forgot Shittas Rabbi Yehuda. So it's time to assume the guy's a liar. There's no reason to assume that. If he says he did a nikur, we can give him the benefit of the doubt. Either way, Rabbi Meir said that you don't trust the butchers for Gedanasha. Rabbi Yehuda said you can trust him for the Gedanasha and for the Chelev. Fade the Gemara, Chelev, man, the Chashmei. Nobody said a word about Chelev. Mara says, let's do a little bit of an edit. Hachi Kamer. Ina manen ala ve ala Chelev. Even though it didn't say Chelev in the Mishnah, we'll insert the word Chelev. No, we do trust the butcher. Snipe for the Gedanasha. And we trust him for the Chelev as well. Either way, this concludes a long technical daf. Started talking about Gedanasha, and then we went knee deep into the world of Chelev, and then into the world of Dam, and then it concluded with Gedanasha again. And by the way, last word in the daf was Vala Chelev, and another shout out to the idea of Chelev. But as it relates to Raid, long daf, so short Ha'ara, related to the idea of the Gedanasha. Specifically, the topic of the previous two dafin, which was the history of the Gedanasha. And the history of the Gedanasha is not tucked away. It's not hashtag rest of the story. It's psukim in the Torah. It's mentioned in Parshas Vayishlach. It came about as a result of the fight, the battle, the wrestling match, just from the Pshutei Shal Mikra, that occurred between Yaakov Avinu and the Samach Mem, and Sarah Shal Esav. And the Pasuk says that even though ultimately Yaakov Avinu prevailed, and Yaakov Avinu clearly won the match, Ad Kedei Kach, that Bochav Eschanin Loi, the Malach begged, and he cried, and he pleaded with Yaakov Avinu to let him go. He needed to sing Shira. But at the same time, Yaakov Avinu did walk away, literally, limping. He had some thigh injury. And the Pasuk says, Al Kain. It's for that reason. The Bnei Yisrael are not allowed to eat the Gid Hanasha. Asher al kaf hayorech. That's in this area. Ad hayom hazeh, up until today. Ki noga bekaf yerech Yaakov begid Hanasha. Either way, this is Pasuk in Parshas Vayishlach, one of the few mitzvahs that the Torah mentions even before Matan Torah. The reason Al Kelo Yoichlu Bnei Yisrael Eskid Danasha is related to this episode that took place between Yaakov Avinu and between Sarah Shalesi. If you take a look at the Rishonim that are mefarish the psukim of this parsha Pshutei Shal Mikra, they struggle a little bit to understand what's the Pasha Pshat. So again, you know, we could understand on a Torah u'mitzvahs level with this 613 mitzvahs, 248 mitzvahs asay, 365 mitzvahs lois asay, the Rambam wrote a Meir Nevuchim, the Chinuch, to explain tamia mitzvahs, mitzvahs have time. But here the Pasuk itself, Koidim Matan Torah, is already making a big deal about Al-Kein lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael eskid anasha. And the Pshutei Shal Mikra, Machar Keshner, what sheikh is that because of the fact, Ki Naga B'kach Yerif Yaakov B'gid anasha, therefore lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael, if you take a look at the Rashbam, who is the Avi Avos of Mefarshe Chumash al Pipshutei Shal Mikra. He says, Alkein lo yoichlu lezichren gvurasei shal Yaakov. This is a way of remembering the gvur of Yaakov Avinu. The nes she'asle HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalai meis, and the miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed to him in that he didn't die. In other words, the reason there's a loisa say in the Torah of don't eat gida nasha, and the shaykhis that it has to the story is persume nisa. So we know there's so many mitzvahs that we do persume nisa. Dalut koises, ner chanukah, mikra megillah, those are all mitzvahs to Rabbanah. But there's a concept of persume nisa. Avhein hoye baisanes, says the Rashbam, this is a loisase that's related to persume nisa. Lezichren gvurasa shal Yaakov, to remember the mighty strength of Yaakov Avinu, v'nei she'asle HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalai meis. We want to remember this incredible miracle because really Yaakov Avinu had no business making it out alive. He was fighting against a malach. Doesn't matter how strong Yaakov Avinu is, the malach's going to win all day, every day. Yet Yaakov Avinu made it out alive. So we have to remember the miracle. And the way we remember the miracle is by not doing something. What don't we do? We don't eat the Gid Anoshe. The lav of Gid Anoshe, says the Rashbam, is based on a persume nisa. Stating that, if you take a look at the Cheskuni, and it's also in the Daskein and Bali Toisves, and it's in the Pirush HaRosh al HaTorah, and it says it already in the Sefer Chassidim, they all have a different mahalach. Kulon nisnavu besignun echad. They all say that the idea of Alkein lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael eskid anasha as a result of the fight was not a good thing. This is not like a positive. Let's remember the incredible miracle, and therefore no one's going to eat from the Gid Anasha. But to the contrary, this was actually a punishment. I'm just going to read from the Cheskuni inside. Alkein lo yoichlu, kloimer. Bedinu sheyesh liknois velanoish b'nei Yisrael me'achilas Gid Anasha. It's a punishment, and the B'nai Yisrael deserve this punishment. Shehinichu es aviyem hoylech yichidi. Because really, how did this whole issue start with Yaakov Avinu? Shenemer vayivasa Yaakov levada. So where was his entourage? He has a bunch of big, strong sons. How come they weren't on his side? He should have had Mimini Ruvein, Umismaili Shimon, Umufani Levi, Umachira Yehuda, right? He should have been surrounded by his chevra. Where was everybody? Vein Hayu Gibayrim. We know they're Gibayrim. Vahayalem Lahantin Aviim Ulisayoi Im Yitztarech. Vahim Loi Asu Loi Lavaya, Vahuzakayadam. And he ended up getting hurt. Umikan Ve'eloch Yilahem Lezecher. It's for that reason there's a knas, there's a punishment, and it's a zecher as well. Viuzrizim Bemitzvah Lavaya. And it's a reminder also that you have to always be Malava, you have to be on your father's side, and specifically if somebody's going out by himself, even if it's not your father, you always have to be there. But says the Cheskuni that this was a punishment because the Bnei Yisrael was somewhat complicit in this punishment, because it wouldn't have happened would it not been by Yavasa Yak Levada, and the only reason he was Levada is because they didn't come there. So he says it was a punishment, it was a knas, and then he throws in it's also a zeichel like the Rashbam, but not a zeichel imnes. But it's a zecher that you have to do levaya. That's what this is a zecher for. If you take a look at the Daskein and Bali Toisus, Dover Acher, Alkein she'asu b'nei Yisrael she'loi kahoygin, she'nichul aleches yichidi, v'loi asu loi levaya, v'uzak al yodim b'gid anasha, l'kach asu lema kodesh baruch u'gid anasha, she'uzrizim b'mitzvahs levaya misham ve'elach, v'lokach huza Yaakov l'lava, he says, yoyse b'noik she'shol ha'achav. That's why you find later, Yaakovina was so careful to be malava Yosef when he sent him this. But the point is that according to the Cheskuni and the Daskein and Bali Tosfos, and as we mentioned, it says it in other Rishonim as well, this is not like a good thing. Let's remember the miracle. This is a bad thing. It's an oynish, it's a knas, for the fact that the brothers didn't do what they were supposed to do, because had they been there with him, it wouldn't have been Vayivasa Yaakov Levada, Yaakov would have never been punished. And if you want there to be a zecher component, there is a zecher. The zecher is, you have to be malav with somebody. You can't allow a person to go out be yichidi, because if somebody goes out be yichidi, now all of a sudden he's vulnerable. You never know what can come from this. There's a Pirush al HaTorah from the Bali Tosfos that's called Moishev Skein and Bali Tosfos. In the Moishev Skein and Bali Tosfos, the Bali Tosfos also brought this mahalach that the Alkein lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael eskid anash is an oynish. It's an oynish because of the fact that the b'nei Yaakov weren't malava Yaakov Avinu. And the Moishev Skein and Bali Tosfos asks a bomb kasha. It's a meiridige kasha. And that is, we're learning Perikid Anasha. We know there's a man dama that holds Ein Begidin B'noisin Tam. If Ein Begidin B'noisin Tam, that means the Gid Anasha doesn't taste like anything. Right, we saw in the very beginning of today's daf, it's an Eitzba Alma. One man d'Amar goes so far as to say, it's Rav, that it's only the Knoiknois that are Aser. Because the Gid itself doesn't even have any taste. If the Eibishter wants to punish them, so what's the punishment? You know that one thing that tastes like nothing? The one thing that you never get to eat anyways? The one thing that's going to be like Kelev Tashlichanois, even if it's not an Avela? Oh, that you're not allowed to eat? Fosfara Oynishes does. If it doesn't have any taste, then L'chayr, what's the issue? And by the way, ve'ein loymar, don't say, but isn't there a man d'amar that holds yesh begidim in oisin tam? So maybe this whole pshetel is going according to that man d'amar. It's not going to work. And the reason is because the Rashba already speaks out here in the sugyas of Masechtas Chulin that how could you have a machloikis b'metzias, whether yesh begidim in oisin tam, eid begidim in oisin tam, right? Taste it. Now, we can't taste it, but we're about to start the sugyas of Taruvas. It's coming up in a matter of moments, right? So give it to a kfeila arma. Give it to someone who's allowed to taste it and ask him, does it taste like anything? Does it not taste like anything? And you'll know whether yesh begidim in oisin tam or eid begidim in oisin tam. The teretz suck the Rashba is, there was no machloikis in the metzias. They gave it to the arma kfeila. They knew that it had a taste, but tam kolush ad l'ma'od. And the machlekes is whether that tam is nechshav tam or it's not nechshav tam. Which means even the mandama that holds yesh megidim and oisin tam, it's not really a taste. So if it's not really a taste, freak the moishav skein and bali toisvis. I understand what's going on over here. L'chura, it's a pliatsuma. L'chura, the oinish, the knas was, you're not going to be able to eat the gedanasha. Gedanasha doesn't taste like anything anyways. What kind of oinish is that? And because of this kasha, the Moishav Skenim brings in the name Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, who said that Enochinami, the Oynish is not the fact that you can't eat the Gidanasha, because the Gidanasha doesn't taste like anything anyways. But at the same time, the Oynish is, what happens if the Gidanasha ends up in a Taruvus with other foods? Which again, we're about to usher in the sugya of Taruvus. It's Mamish, the Mishnah is coming up, right? When you learn Taruvus in Yeshiva, if you were Zoichetu, it's a bunch of Bletim, Masechtas Chulin that starts in the latter half of Perek Gidanasha. But Gidanasha, that's Nesarev, this is literally Exhibit A, ground zero. This is chapter 1, verse 1 for the Sugyas of Taruvus. What happens if the Gidanasha was Nesarev? And by the way, you see that the Gidanasha was enmeshed in the animal. So it's because of the other basar that the Gidanasha gets enmeshed with, that becomes part and parcel with, it's because of that, that there's an oynish. Senechinami, the fact that you can't eat the Gidanasha, that in of itself is not a punishment. But when the Gidanasha is enmeshed, which it always is. By the way, Ashkenazim, right? Most people do not eat the filet mignon, which Yesh HaOmrim is the best part of the animal. Why? Because there's a Gidanoshen. We're not Bikiyim and Nikur anymore. So you're right. The Oynish is not the fact that you can't eat the Gid, but the fact you can't eat a filet mignon, I hear. Now we're already talking. So the bottom line is, the Oynish is not the Gidanoshen. Zok Rav Yehuda Chassid, the Oynish is when the Gidanoshen is Nesarev, which seemed to be something that, you know, happened. It was for that reason we view it as that. A little bit dachuk, but this is Rabbi Yehuda Chassid says in order to get out of this kasha. I saw in the Megadim Chadashim from Agoyim Rav David Yoyah White Shlita, this is in Parshas Vayishlach on this pasuk. Al king lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael eskid anosha asher al kaf hayorech ad hayoyim hazeh. He brings this discussion in the Rishonim. He asks that if you take a look at the Lashon of the Rosh's Lashon is that it was a punishment for the Bnei Yaakov, the Bnei Yisrael, al shehinichu leilech yichidi v'nichshol v'hefsidu oisai meichel toiv ledar dair. It's for that reason that Kadosh Baruch Hu took away from them that meichel toiv. It sounds like the Gidanosh is the meichel toiv, right? Akein hefsidu oisai meichel toiv. What's the oisai meichel toiv? It's the Gidanosh. It should be a reminder, not of the miracle, of the avon, of the chet, that they went ahead and they committed. But the bottom line is, Rida Chassid's Mahalach is a little bit dachuk from the Lashon of the Rosh. It certainly is not mashman that way. And if that's the case, it's l'chura very, very tzarech bir. So David Yoel says, I want to tell you a davar mechudish. And really, it's based on an ofen arachayim HaKadosh on this pasuk. If you take a look at the arachayim on the pasuk, al king lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael, it's gid anasha, he says as follows. I'm going to read the words without understanding it. Pirish. Litzad shen is Daza Hagid Mimikar Hakdusha. Because of the fact that the Gid was Nistaza, it moved from its source, its root of Kedusha, Vishalat by a Klipa. And then the Klipa had the ability to have some dominance over it. Bechinazu, Bechol Makoim, Shehinitma. And this is a Bechina that in all areas would result in Toma. It's for that reason the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, went and said it's Aser, ki hu ayoideya, because he knows what this all means. and you'll see the secret of this inyan, ki gidze ein boy tam. Based on what the Gemara says in Perek Danasha, that the gid has no tam. For who simin lepchinas haklipa. And that's a simin for the fact that the klipa exists, ki ein boy tam. The reason it doesn't have a tam is kivin shenekru kedusha mimenu, because it lost the kedusha. V'yesh baze pshatim loymer. There are other pshatim you could say elosha ikar kamoisha kasafti, but the ikar is what I just told you. So Rechaim says dvarim niskavim, things that are above our pay grade, and he explains al pi kabbalah a little bit what's going on in this pasuk al kein lo yechum neisol es gid hanash. Bazak Rav David Yoy Weiss, let me explain to you. Higrada has a word for word translation and explanation of what the Rechaim HaKadosh means. But he says, really, in order to appreciate, and this is something that we could understand, there's just one yesod that we have to know. And this is something he brings, is brought down in many, many of the Chassidish Svarim. I read from the Sefer Ma'orei Nayim. This is in Parshas Matos. There's nothing that can exist in this world if it doesn't have a spark of Kedusha. That spark comes from the Dibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu, Uvruach Pilf Kol Tzavam, Basar Mamoris Nivra Olam, and there's a Nitzitz, and there were Nitzitzes of Kedusha that came from the Dibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it is really the atom, it's the nucleus of everything that exists in this world, and it's what gives it its chias. V'hu atam shebidavar ahu hamatok lechech. He says, when it comes to food, when you eat food, the food is going to taste good. You know why the food is going to taste good? Because the nitzitz of kedusha that the food has, that's what gives it its taste. U'kamayshom adavar hamelech, tamuru ki toiv Hashem. Listen to this taich. Ratzoloimer, ma'ash atem toyamin v'royim ki toiv. When you eat something and you taste something and you're tamuru ki toiv, you want to know why it's toiv? It's Hashem. Who Hashem? Who shunitzitz hakodesh shebedavar hu amelubish boy. And that's where that toiv comes from. Tamaru ki toiv, the reason is Hashem. It's because of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the nitzitz of Kedusha that was netz on the Burish HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what goes ahead and gives us its chiyas. He brings from the Tzava, from the Heilig Baal Shem Tov, who said, Kisha'oichel, when a person eats, Yachshoiv, he should think Shatam, V'hamesiku shal dover ha-maychelahu, Bami koyach chiyuni, that the sweetness of what it is he's eating is coming from the koyach ha-chiyuni, V'hamesiku shal maylo shu chiyusai. Why does the food taste good? It tastes good because there's a certain nitzitz of kedusha, there's a chiyus that it has, and that's what gives us this incredible taste. He brings from the Hanhoges for Rav Shlomo Mikarliner, who said, "V'mesaba lechol, if a person has a taiva to eat, yachshev, you should think shegam chushatam mimenu yisparach v'chiyusay boy, that this good taste that he has right now is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zula zeh loyhoyo loy chushatam, and were it not for the chiyus and the nitzitz of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it would not have had a tam. V'chulu v'chulu, he brings it from the Ber Maim Chaim. He said, this is an inyan that is pervasive within the Chassidish Sfarim. So Rav David Yoel, it's Pashit. That's what the Arachaim HaKadosh was saying. What the Arachaim HaKadosh was saying was, is that when the Samach Mem had a battle with Yaakov Avinu, what happened was the Samach Mem hit Yaakov. And when he hit Yaakov, he caused Yaakov Avinu's Yerech to go out of place. And the Oimek HaDover is that when it was Nistaza Hagid, it was Nistaza, not just it slipped out of place, Yaakovino needs a chiropractor. It was Nistaza Mimkara Kedusha, that's what happened. And because it was Nistaza from the Kara Kedusha, it was Vesholat by a Klippa. The Klippa was able to get involved. The Nitzitz of Kedusha, that part of the Guf had, all of a sudden doesn't have anymore. And now all of a sudden the Samach Mem couldn't be Shoilet in Yaakovino. Oh, but what was he able to be Shoilet on? All the Halagas farms say this Indian. He was able to be King Naga Bekach Yerf Yaakov. That was the one part of him that he was able to get. And when he went and he got him over there, you know what happened? The Nitzitz of Kedusha was gone. What happened when the Nitzitz of Kedusha was gone? Now all of a sudden it has no taste. Zokta Rechaim HaKadosh V'timtza Soit Bozeh Ki Gidzeh Ein Boitam. That's a sign that the clip is over there. Ki ein bo tam kiven shenekri kedusha mimenu al pi amavu in the marinayim and the tzavah from the Heilig Baal Shem Tov and from Shlomi Kalina and all these chassidish tzaddikim that they all said this in you, that the time of something comes from the kedusha, but being that it was Vayiga, and being that something slipped, it slipped from the Makara Kedusha, now all of a sudden, the Sidra Acher was able to be Shoilet, and that's why, says the Arachaim HaKadosh, ein begid ben neus in tam aber sagt ob david jojo that ul fiz en nira lu my medive ar khaim a kodesh dover khidesh he said I see something from this ar khaim that I never found anywhere else and we're going to take rab david jojo's word for it he said I never found this anywhere else in any svarim which means beniglu benistem parsha so you should in any other parsha in tarish of ksav in tarish bar pe so rab david jojo that what you see from the ar khaim a kodesh is shochen lifnei meisezu shalos afkus amalach mayakov that before Yaakov Avinu fought with the Malach, ulefnei hishtaltus haklipa lagid, and before the klipa was able to be shoyled on the gid, hoye be'emes tam toiv b'achilos gid anasha. It tasted like something, and it probably tasted pretty good. Vayu regilim loichloi, and people used to eat it. But it was only because of the Bnei Yaakov that they weren't malav of their father, and they let their father, an older person, go, and he has all these strong sons, and where are they? How come they're not there to take care of him? It was because of what happened that Samich Mem pugged Yaakov and Danosha. That the Samich Mem was able to be begay Yaakov and Danosha. It's for that reason they were punished and they were told you're not allowed to eat it. And the Ketusha went away. And that's good for why ain't begidim a nice time. Before this story, the Gidin had a time. And that's why it is a nice. The cash is what kind of Einish is this? It doesn't taste like anything. No. The only reason it doesn't taste like anything is because Al Kein Lo Yoichu Bnei Yisrael. It's because the Eibush said you allowed this to happen. I'm gonna be mesalik my kedusha from it. And now the Samach Mem is gonna come, and now it's taka not gonna taste like anything. Oh, but Koydem Achet, it very much did taste like something. Zogin the Rishonim that Hakadosh Baruch Hu wanted to punish, and the way the punishment happened was Hakadosh Baruch Hu said I'm going to be mesalik myself from that area. Memela the clip is gonna be shoylet. Memela it's not gonna have time. Oh, but far the Chet of the Bnei Yisrael, it really did have a time. Being that it had a time, far the chet, it's very moving why this would have been an appropriate einish. Either way, classic Rav David Yoel Shlita, to answer the Rishonim's kasha, to have a new mahalach based on an ofen archaim HaKadosh, divrei pi chacham chen.